When you're asked, what is your go-to guilty pleasure under $500? Your answer can be the Qatar Airways Privilege Club Visa Infinite credit card. Hello, and welcome to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce. Today, I'm joined by just Emily and Travis, much like a forgetful yoga student. We are without our mat today. We left him elsewhere. Matt will hopefully be joining us on the next one. But if you are still new to Points and Miles or feel like you could just use a refresher, we recommend going back and listening to episodes 1 through 6, where we cover the fundamentals of Points and Miles. For any other lingering questions, be sure to join our Facebook group, the largest Points and Miles Facebook group on earth, now at over 340,000 members. Had to correct that one just before we started today. And for those of you who prefer to learn visually or just see our shining faces, remember that you can watch this and every episode of Takeoff on YouTube. So be sure to subscribe at youtube.com/@10xtravel or in the link in the show notes. So today's episode, we're going to dive into a particular points program that has a lot of nuances to it. Going to be a bit more educational. We're going to share some specific ways that we would like to use these points or kind of sweet spots to look for. But before we do that, I always like to start out with like a quick icebreaker introductory question, for which I did not share ahead of the call here. And I'm getting some nervous looks through the camera. I'll take it easy on you. Today's intro question is, what is your go-to guilty pleasure for less than, let's say, $30? And I'll let you think about it by answering first. And I'll tell you that mine, which is almost getting to the point of like, I don't call it an addiction, but like it's a problem. Like if this is available and I have the $30, this is less than $30, but if I have it, I'm going to buy it. And that is those little peach earring candies that you can get at pretty much any gas station or convenience store. Good. And they're always like unbranded. Like I couldn't even tell you who makes them, but like there's a million different like generic versions of these. I think everyone kind of knows what I'm referring to. I can put down an entire bag of those in like 6 minutes. And now that I made that claim in a future podcast, we might have to try that. But that is my go-to guilty pleasure. If I'm usually like on a road trip or something and stop and those are anywhere near the register, yeah, those are coming home with me.
You have certainly set yourself up here because Travis is known for shipping like condiments and other food products to you unexpectedly. So you are going to get just some peach rings on your doorstep.
Is that a bad thing? Like, oh no, the candy that you love might show up at your door.
When it's mayo, I don't know.
Not just any mayo though. Fancy Duke's mayo. Duke's mayo.
Yeah. Bryce didn't say what size bag he can put down in 6 minutes.
Yeah. And
$30 too, that buys a lot.
I can get Amazon Prime same day, one bag, 5 pounds for under $30.
5 pounds. Yeah, that seems sizable.
Yeah.
That'll take me at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
2 minutes per pound.
Yeah. Yeah, seems healthy and reasonable.
What can I ship to your door for on Amazon Prime? That would be a guilty pleasure, less than $30.
Man, putting me on the spot. I think I lean... When it comes to guilty pleasure, like I'm thinking of it in terms of that time, those times when I'm craving something and I don't know what I'm craving, what is it that I'm going to end up with? Like the majority of the time as a default. And of course, like thinking snack based. And I go the opposite. I don't go so much sweet. I go like salty. And I'm a sucker for the cheddar and sour cream chips.
Ooh, pretty much brand in particular?
I mean, Ruffles is obviously the premier choice when it comes to cheddar and sour cream chips, but any will do. I had some like Buc-ee's branded kettle cooked ones recently that were, it tasted less fake, tasted more real. And I don't know if that's actually better or not. Ruffles is definitely the default. And like 5 pounds of peach rings, you could probably get a lot for under $30.
Have you ever dipped the sour cream and cheddar Ruffles into the French onion hell of a good dip?
I have dipped it into French onion dip. I'm not a fan of the hell of a good dip. especially when it comes to French onion. So growing up, we would make, I say we would make our own French onion dip. It's two ingredients. It's a thing of sour cream.
And the Lipton dip mix.
Makes the like Lipton French onion soup mix. And you just mix it into the sour cream, let it sit overnight. I kid you not, I had some of that today with my with my lunch. To be fair, this is going to sound crazy. It's because I had a quesadilla and I'm a big sour cream guy, but we were out of regular sour cream and I saw this and said, this will probably taste good. So French onion soup chip dip sour cream based also worked with my lunchtime quesadilla.
That's great.
Impressive.
Yeah,
that's so many uses.
That's a whirlwind right there. A whirlwind of food facts.
Yeah.
How about you, Emily? What's your guilty pleasure under $30?
I got to go last, so I had a little more time to prepare. But have you guys tried the Dots pretzels? Have you seen those? Do you know what they are? I think they're like distributed nationwide at this point, but they are like flavored little pretzel twists, and they have a bunch of different flavors, but just like the OG flavor is really, really delicious. So I'll have to put a picture of it or something in the video for YouTube. And I'll send you the link to look them up. But they're really good. There you go.
I was already on Amazon for Bryce's.
Oh yeah, of course.
Peach rings. So I just used that as a search engine to see. And I do think I've had these before. But boycott the honey mustard.
Why do I have to boycott honey mustard?
I don't like honey mustard, so I boycott everything honey mustard.
Okay.
I guess we're all doing that now out of solidarity for Travis's dislike of honey mustard.
I think it's like the worst condiment ever. It's pointless. It's disgusting. And if you like honey mustard, then I'm sorry. You can just hate me now.
And there goes two listeners of our podcast. Before we even get into today's episode, I mentioned we're focusing on a unique type of currency. Today, we're going to be talking about Avios, the currency used by at least five major international airlines at the time of us recording this. I feel like that could be like six or seven within a month or two at the rate that this is growing. But Avios has, as a program, a lot of nuances, a lot of upsides, things to know about how to use them. Kind of reminds me of Flying Blue a bit. Maybe we should do a future episodes on that. But we're going to get into some of the things that you should know. We're going to talk about some ways that we have used them in the past, how we would like to use them here in the future. So let's dive right in, talk about what are Avios, which I guess we should also start by saying that this was the original source of our pronunciation fascination. I believe we had a pretty lengthy discussion about with Avios, Avios. And then at some point we actually received a communication from British Airways to correct it. And it's like, hey, you should know this is actually Avios. This was years ago. So Avios it is. By the end of this, how to use them is going to be obvious, dare I say.
Oh, and
you're
going
to sit back and say, ah, Avios. I can keep going. Avios, like remember those old SpaghettiOs commercials? Oh, Avios. Nope. Anyway, Avios, a miles currency used by five major international airlines. They are actually owned by the International Airlines Group. This is a multinational airline holding company. They also own Aer Lingus, British Airways, Iberia, Vueling, which is a Spanish kind of budget airline.
Ooh, how did you say that one?
Is it Vueling?
Oh, no.
I don't Vueling? Know. I've always said
I think it's Vueling.
Vueling.
Ooh. Give that one a Google. I've flown them a few times even. And so anyway, all those airlines use the Avios currency, and then Qatar Airways adopted the currency in 2022. And then most recently, Finnair joined the Avios roster in 2024. So the major airlines that currently use this program, British Airways Executive Club, Iberia Plus, Aer Lingus Air Club, Qatar Airways Privilege Club, Finnair Plus. Those are the big ones to know. Well, and next.
Go the ahead. Real big thing to know is I took the time for Google and it says, well, I'm going to play it again for myself. I don't think you can hear it. Vueling is what Google says.
Vueling. Okay. They just, I wish they would jump into the Avios program so we could just have like the double pronunciation question, you know, Vueling Avios. Definitely going to make that mistake at some point. But there are a handful of benefits of Avios that you should be aware of. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Emily.
Yeah. So one thing that is unique about Avios is that they are transferable up to a point. But most often when you're thinking about frequent flyer programs, you can't transfer from one frequent flyer program to another. And the one exception to that is Avios. So like Bryce mentioned, there's a number of airlines and frequent flyer programs that use Avios. So you can transfer your Avios between any of those programs at a one-to-one ratio. So that's the main thing that makes it different from like a SkyMiles, for example, just because you have Delta miles and because Air France is part of that alliance, you can't move your miles from your SkyMiles into Flying Blue. That's not how it works unless you're Avios. The other thing that's helpful is that nearly all, if not maybe all, of the popular transferable currencies partner with at least one of the Avios using frequent flyer programs. So it's really easy to transfer to them. It's easy to top off if you need more than you have currently in one of your Avios frequent flyer accounts. So that's a big bonus to this program. So if you have Capital One miles, you can transfer them to your British Airways account. And then if you wanted to move them from within your British Airways account, you could easily do that into Qatar or one of the other programs. And it's also especially nice when there's a transfer bonus on any one of the programs, because you can, you know, transfer from Capital One to British Airways if that's where the transfer bonus is. And then you could have an increased amount of Avios to transfer onto one of the other programs. So that's kind of the gist of the Avios benefits and how you can kind of transfer them out around. There are some other key benefits that we'll share with you too, and I'll punt it over to Travis for that one.
Yeah, before I get into those, I want to just be sure that we're clear for everyone. Like when we say Avios are transferable, there those five programs that Bryce mentioned, they're transferable between each other. You can't transfer Avios to American Airlines or Cathay Pacific Asia Miles. You can transfer within the Avios ecosystem, which does yield some unique advantages because one Avios in British Airways isn't necessarily the same as one Avios in Iberia. Each individual program has its own award charts, and so you can leverage that arbitrage play to get some outside value. Like Emily mentioned, you can't do that with Delta, so you're stuck with whatever value Delta's going to give you. But I won't dig on Delta too much. let's talk about some of the other key benefits. Of some of the other key benefits is kind of like I mentioned, that you get access to another program's partner redemptions. Although people are generally most familiar with, I would say, British Airways and Qatar, which are both part of Oneworld. Iberia is part of Oneworld as well. Aer Lingus is not formally part of Oneworld, and Finnair is technically part of Oneworld right now.
There's like some loose connections with all of those where it's like affiliated here, but then a couple airlines that attach to some of them, not others. It's the whole program, you can kind of tell, feels like it was assembled together from a bunch of different pieces. And there's still some of those kind of like stray threads of like, well, normally it's like this, except that one time or this one thing, you know, yeah. A lot of that.
Yeah. But even though they're virtually all part of the same alliance, like Bryce was saying, they have their own partners sometimes. So for example, Qatar partners with JetBlue. So you can use Qatar miles to book JetBlue flights. Or Qatar kind of has a lot of these independent partnerships. They partner with Bangkok Airways, and British Airways doesn't. So even if you earn your Avios with British Airways, you can move them to Qatar and access some additional airline partners that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. Another one of the key benefits of Avios is that you can pool all of your Avios into one account. So if you've got some Avios with Iberia, some with British Airways, some with Qatar, and you're wanting to book the flight, you can combine all of those into one single account in order to hopefully then have enough to book it. And kind of on this as well, British Airways actually has a family pooling option. So you can, if you're P2, P3, P4, P5, I could count forever. If your P number symbol, more commonly referred to as P hashtag. If your P hashtag is part of your British Airways Avios family, then you can actually pool across your entire family when redeeming. I've done this myself, which is really nice. My wife had earned some British Airways Avios. I wanted to book a flight. I didn't have any, and I needed a few more. So I transferred one of my flexible bake points over to British Airways, but I didn't have to transfer the full amount because I just stole
some
from my wife.
Is she aware of this? Yeah. I was going to say, let's bring her on. Hey, come out from the back. You know, like,
yeah. So even though you can pool in your own account across all of the different Avios programs, British Airways' family pooling is also a way that you can pool with your P hashtags in order to get more. I'm leaning into P hashtags.
Yes,
P hashtag is a thing now.
Well, to be fair, I think you can do it for your kids as well. I don't have kids, so I haven't been able to test this, but so we're going to go with P hashtag.
Well, hopefully soon I'll be able to say, as a parent, I know that you can do that, yeah. But I haven't done that myself, so we'll save that for another bit.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of transferring, another benefit here is that transferring from your flexible points currencies to Avios can vary. For example, sometimes transferring from Amex to Iberia can take a few days, but pretty much everything transferring to British Airways is nearly instant. So if you wanted to book something with Iberia, you could transfer your Amex points to Iberia, wait for them to show up, might be instant, might be not, and hope that the availability is still there. But Amex to British Airways has a pretty good track record of that instantaneous reliability. And so you can transfer Amex to British Airways and then from British Airways to Iberia and get those points a lot faster guaranteed. It might not actually be faster, but should generally be faster. And one of the last key benefits that we hinted on earlier is just taking advantage of the arbitrage between the different airline programs, even though they're all Avios. Send me to jail. Even though they're all Avios, as we mentioned, each airline has their own way of pricing award flights. And while there is some similarity, there are some pretty key differences. For example, British Airways charges you per section. So let's say you're trying to book your true dream trip of going from the US to, I don't know, let's pick a random place like the Maldives.
So random.
Very random.
So random. Yeah. Well, if you were booking that through British Airways, let's say you're based in a city like where you can get to London nonstop. So let's pick a random place like Houston. Let's say you were going Houston to London to the Maldives. Mm-hmm. Well, British Airways would charge you for the London or the Houston to London flight, and then the London to the Maldives flight. That would run you anywhere from 105 to about 140,000 Avios through British Airways. However, Qatar doesn't break it into segments. They look at that and say, you're going from Houston to the Maldives. So assuming it's safer availability, it would work out to about 85,000 Avios through Qatar. So even though you're booking the same flight, because British Airways charges per segment and Qatar doesn't, you can take advantage of Qatar's award chart to save some more, to save some points on the exact same flight.
So when are you going to the Maldives?
Have you ever been? Have we ever talked about this?
I'm,
do you live
I'm
in Houston?
weird how all of those kind of fell together for that example. But you know, that's just the way the pretzels crumble.
I was waiting for this example to go one layer deeper to say, like, if you find out that your spouse has a pool of Avios that you want to help yourself to and book a flight from Houston to London to the Maldives, then here's how it would break down. But I'm glad we left that layer out.
yeah, we don't have to quite go there.
Very good. Thank you, Travis. And one other thing, I guess, that comes up there is that there are also a bit of differences or nuances between policies in terms of like cancellation and changing when booking with these different partners. So, and sometimes you might not necessarily want to book like the single cheapest one. Maybe you factor in, hey, there's a good chance I might cancel or change this flight. Which one of these airlines or partners of Avios is going to let me do so with the lowest taxes and fees associated with that? So probably too much of a nuance to get into in a podcast, but something that you do want to be aware of.
I want to throw out there for our listeners, in terms of the programs with Avios, where at least at the time of recording, you're generally going to find value. Aer Lingus and Finnair aren't quite there. They have some of their own unique spots, but typically when people are talking Avios, they're talking British Airways, Iberia, and Qatar. Each of those programs has some of their own unique advantages. Qatar, like we mentioned, doesn't charge per segment. British Airways, the ability to pool with your family, and just the simple fact that British Airways has a lot of award availability on their own flights, even though you'll typically pay higher taxes and fees. Iberia, typically a little bit less quality availability, but their award chart has some really unique sweet spots, particularly with flights between the US and Spain. I'll get into that more later. Don't you worry. You're not going to be left hanging without knowing more about that. But those three are where you're really going to find most of the value. Aer Lingus, generally less value unless you're trying to fly Aer Lingus itself. And Finnair, they just typically charge higher award rates. So even though you can move it between all five of those, most of your focus, if you're trying to know which ones are actually really important to learn, would be British Airways, Iberia, and Qatar.
Agreed. And I'm asking this as a genuine question. We don't have it in the notes, but transfer times between Avios partners, I imagine that's instant-ish, right? I haven't seen anything to the contrary, and I feel like that would have been mentioned, but it's not something I've done myself.
Generally, between British Airways and Qatar is pretty instant, and British Airways and Iberia tends to be fairly instant. I admittedly don't know Finnair, but I do know that there are some weird hiccups with Aer Lingus sometimes, where it's not really such a smooth thing, particularly if you're going from Aer Lingus to another program can be a little wonky to figure out. Like it's just not a very clear and straightforward process.
Yeah, I think from Aer Lingus is the only one where you have to go to the Avios website to try and transfer them for some of them. And the Avios website is weird.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It is weird.
And then like sometimes
I try to minimize the amount of time I spend there.
Yeah.
And then this might be wrong, but I feel like sometimes if you're like the easiest one is Aer Lingus to British Airways, but then sometimes if your British Airways is linked to an Iberia account, they can't make the connection with the Aer Lingus account. It's just
same for family bizarro. Accounts.
It's bizarro. Yeah.
There are some things to know about transferring Avios, which I'm going to jump into in a minute. But first, I want to mention that as we're describing this, now I'm like wondering, how many times can you like transfer like your Avios like to all the partners in a day, like over and over and over until like they call you and they're just like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Like,
you
just,
know what?
Oh, well, let's just move them over here and move them over here because I can, you know?
This means that you have to be the data point.
Yeah.
There we go. But what if they just like disappear? They're just like, stop, you know?
Or really,
the terms conditions.
You should see how many transfers you can make while you're eating your 5-pound bag of peach rings.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Multitasking.
Boom.
There are
hopefully I don't have to call
experiment.
In because I'll be chewing peaches. So some other things to know about transferring Avios. The first is that not all transfers from one program can be done directly to another. We kind of mentioned how there's a bit of nuance to that. We do actually have this handy little chart on or a guide, if you will, to combining Avios. We'll link it in the show notes. It's also on our website, centershuttle.com, on our piece, kind of our master guide to Avios. There's quite a bit to know, and I'm not going to read a chart to you here on a podcast. Second thing to know is that each Avios program is distance-based with the exception of Finnair. So that means distance-based means that they'll charge more points to book flights that are longer. The analogy that we make in the course to kind of explain this is it's a bit like a taxi. Like the farther you go, the more money it's going to be, right? The meter keeps going up. Whereas most other conventional airline programs are going to be zone-based, which is a bit more like a public bus. You pay one fare to ride that route, whether you go 2 stops, 8 stops, whatever. So it is a little bit unique in that regard, and that does create some special use cases and sweet spots that we'll get to here in just a minute. Next thing to know, you want to make sure that all of your information matches across all of your Avios accounts. So make sure that your name, your birthday, your mailing address, your email address are all in lockstep from one to the other. Otherwise, you might encounter transfer issues. And really, that's true of really any airline program as well. We see this a lot with our readers, oftentimes right after kind of getting married and there's name changes happening and a honeymoon that's about to happen. And that can kind of create some complications around your use of points. Here's another one that trips up a lot of folks. Your British Airways Executive Club account and your Iberia Plus account need to be open for at least 90 days, effectively before you can really use them, before you can transfer points in or out. So you want to make sure that you maybe go ahead and open those like now or soon, so you're not in the situation that we see. Pause here and go open an account and also send a 5-pound bag of peaches to 10X Travel Headquarters, please. And then resume. We do see that a lot though, where folks will find a word space and they're like, sweet, I want to go and book this. I need to create an account real quick. And then we're like, yeah, I should have done that one 90 days ago, 91 days ago. So not a bad idea to do that now. And last but not least, let's talk about how to earn Avios. Besides the obvious of flying with one of these mini airlines, because that is how you can earn Avios. Dare I say, are Avios maybe the single easiest loyalty currency to earn in points and miles?
Oh, Travis is not going to agree with that.
I know. I United.
Am. You are? No, wow.
I am. Yeah, I think that Avios are the easiest rewards currency to earn.
There's at least three cards that earn their points directly, which I'll share here in a minute. But also being a transfer partner of really every major bank program, there's probably 15 cards out there that you could potentially earn Avios with. The only type of currency in the world easier to earn faster, Kohl's cash. It's scientific. But the three cards that earn Avios, they're actually all issued by Chase. First is the Aer Lingus Visa Signature Card, the British Airways Visa Signature Card, and the Iberia Visa Signature Card. These are all pretty much the most conventional co-brand airline cards that I can think of. They have annual fees that are like around $95. The welcome offers are usually a little below 100,000 points each. Minimum spend is not outrageous. They come with all the usual perks that you'd be used to getting from a co-brand card. And I believe you can get all three of them even at the same time. So stack them up that way. But for the vast majority of people, your ongoing source of Avios should probably be a card that earns transferable points. Really pick your favorite one. Hopefully you have at least one of them by now. But as we mentioned, very easy to earn Avios in large quantities. There's also a couple of new products from Cardless. They are Qatar branded credit cards. The Qatar Airways Privilege Club Visa Signature Credit Card. That's a mouthful. Also very typical co-brand card. And the Qatar Airways Privilege Club Visa Infinite Credit Card. One of those eight words is different than the other. And that's how you'll know it's different.
And the annual fee.
The annual fee, also only one character different. It's $499 instead of just $99. So when you're asked, what is your go-to guilty pleasure under $500? Your answer can be the Qatar Airways Privilege Club Visa Infinite Credit Card.
Do you think that that's worse than the...
Marriott?
No, I was going to say the City Advantage Platinum Select World Elite MasterCard.
Oh, God.
Yeah, with two Platinum Select World Elite MasterCard or the Qatar Airways Privilege Club Visa Signature Credit Card. We're at nine words versus seven. So this loses on trademark symbols and other special characters, but it definitely wins in total number of words.
Yeah, they certainly do not make that easy for us, do they?
But
so easy to earn point Avios. And really, you're probably sitting on a bunch of them right now, even if you weren't aware of it before you started this podcast. So everything that we're about to describe in terms of best ways to use this is probably something that you can do right now.
The reason why I harp on like the United versus this and why Emily doubted that I would agree with this is because like United's award fares aren't the best. But I like the strategy because you can just earn so many from the United credit cards versus most of the Avios programs award fares are better. So I would prefer, like this is myself personally, would prefer to just earn flexible points and transfer them in when I need them. But I can also earn those flexible points once I'm over 524, since I can open Capital One cards or the pretty much singular city card that earns transferable points or American Express. You can still earn these Avios even when you're over 524 simply by earning transferable points. And that's a really big advantage compared to the United strategy where you have to be under 524. It doesn't quite make as much sense to transfer them. That's why I like it. I like the United strategy because it doesn't make sense to transfer versus I think Avios are just overall so easy to use because you can earn them when you're under 524 by opening any Chase card that earns ultimate rewards points or one of these three cards. But then even once you're over 524, you can still earn them from Amex, Capital One, Chase, Bilt. Technically Marriott even transfers there, although it doesn't necessarily make the most sense.
But yeah, the fact that 60,000 becomes 25,000. If you're doing that, you're pretty desperate for Avios.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not underrated, but probably no one is aware that Accor Live Limitless transfers to Finnair at a 1-to-1 ratio. So if you've got a big stash of Accor points, this podcast is for you.
And if you have what we might say a limitless stash of Accor Live Limitless points.
So true.
There you go. Someone out there is like, yes, I love Peachy's and I have Accor Limitless Live miles. This is my podcast. Hello to you.
But Capital One does transfer to Accor.
Oh.
2-to-1, though. So you get one Accor for every two Capital One. So you would literally be better off transferring your Capital One to British Airways and then not sending them to Finnair because Finnair's award charts are trash anyway. So
there's like a handful of scenarios that I'm seeing here where it's like, no one should ever do that. Right? Like, why would you book British Airways on like the Maldives route when you could do it through Qatar for cheaper? And I wonder if like they're sitting here at the Avios headquarters, if that's even a thing. And they're just like, look at this fool. Like, he could have saved 40,000 of these things if he had just transferred to Accor and then called Wheeling or however you pronounce it. And then waited until the summer solstice and transferred them again and then booked, you know, like a lot of complexities. It feels very kind of like woven together.
I will say you shouldn't discount transferring the Accor points over. You shouldn't transfer from a flexible currency to Accor to Finnair. But there could definitely be situations where you just earned Accor points because you happened to be staying at an Accor hotel and you're maybe never going to transfer points there or use them otherwise, in which case it's a good way to move them to a program where you can get some additional utility. So we make fun of it from the transferring from a bank to Accor to Finnair, because you would literally be losing 50% value immediately versus just transferring from a bank to British Airways. But there are situations where it totally could make sense to be going from Accor over to Finnair because you're just wanting to get some utility from the points you earned from another Accor stay.
That's a good point. Or just trying to fend off a expiration date. I believe most of these are 36 months of no activity and they would expire. But if you transfer a few points from Capital One to Accor and then over to Finnair, and then that maybe saves your points, that's worth doing as well. So there's a lot to know about these, but I'm think what our audience is most excited to hear and what I'm most excited to hear is our favorite Avios sweet spots. So we had each of us put together one example of these, at least. I'm sure we'll get into more of our favorite ways to use these. And first up on my list is Emily. So Emily, what's your favorite sweet spot for Avios?
Well, I had to channel my inner Matt for this one because he's not here to say it himself. But I think this is what he would say, which is that flights from the US to the Caribbean on American Airlines are a great use of Avios. So places like Turks and Caicos, the Bahamas, Aruba, Jamaica, a lot of the flights from the East Coast to these places are operated by American Airlines. And American Airlines has a dynamic pricing model for the most part. So you might often spend more if you're booking them with American Airlines miles than you would if you were going to book them with an Avios currency like British Airways. It also means that you can take advantage of the distance-based award chart through British Airways. So a lot of these flights are short, a couple hours, maybe even less than that. And that means that they're going to be pretty cheap through British Airways. So I was looking up a couple examples. Charlotte to Turks and Caicos, you could book for 11,000 Avios one way in economy. You could fly from Miami to Montego Bay in Jamaica. You could fly in business class for just 16,500 Avios one way. It's a very short flight. That might be, you might not want to fly business class for that, but you could. Philly to the Bahamas is 11,000 one way in economy. So there's a lot of short flights that you could take and get a lot of value out of your Avios for a nice Caribbean vacation.
It sounds like you might have enough points to take like the whole family and maybe your neighbors too. Like that's so affordable from a point standpoint.
Yeah.
So
the only thing you have to do is know whether or not any of us are flying through Miami at the same time. Cause if you're screwed. First when it comes to Miami. So just double check to see if any of us are flying through Miami first.
Yes, you will be delayed. Go ahead and book that hotel ahead of time before your flight's even delayed, because that's happening.
I'm really surprised about that Philly to the Bahamas. That's a like 3-hour flight almost.
Yeah. Or I just more. Checked before.
Yeah. Like that's a pretty decent flight for only 11,000 miles.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that your below your threshold of economy flights? 3 hours?
Yeah, I'd do that.
Okay. Does that count as over an ocean? Because it's over, but landing in the same ocean. Yeah. That one's kind of a fringe to the rule. I have to think about it. Although speaking of Miami, I actually recently flew to the Bahamas. I was on a oneworld carrier. I was not at all supposed to be in the Miami area, and there was the weather in the Bahamas. They redirected us, and we landed in the Miami area, and we're stuck there for like 4 hours. So even if you're not flying through South Florida, it's somehow going to find you and suck you in and make and delay your flight. Hmm. So, but at least you only paid 11,000 Avios for it.
Yep.
That's true.
At that rate, you could just rebook another one for the next day.
So now with those bookings that you mentioned, Emily, to the Caribbean, I believe taxes and fees on that, not outrageous. Do you have any advice on finding that award availability, things to know about the actual booking process?
There is a ton of availability, especially because you could fly economy, they're short, so it's not hard to find. I just pulled up these examples right before we jumped on to record this. So it was pretty easy for me to find 3 different places I could go to in the Caribbean. So just make sure that when you go to the British Airways website and you start your booking process, you click book with Avios. Because a lot of people get tripped up and they just click book, which means that you're only going to see the cash price and you're going to be confused and you're going to think you're doing something wrong. You are, but it's easy to fix it. And so that would be my main advice. Yeah. Otherwise, this would be something that I would definitely do if I still lived on the East Coast.
Fantastic. Thank you, Emily. I'm next up here on the list, and I don't know if I misread the prompt, but I definitely interpret this as like, what are some ways that you have used Avios? So I actually went back to one of my recent, it's less recent now, but one example in which they really came in handy. And to speak kind of more generally about this, the way that I think about Avios is they tend to kind of like fill in gaps for me on trips that are like short flights between like open jaw cities. If I'm on a trip where I couldn't necessarily book like an open jaw ticket as its own and kind of just have to hop from one place to the other. So the example that immediately came to mind for me was I used 12,500 Avios and about $100 in tax and fees for a business class flight between Cape Town and Johannesburg. It was on British Airways, but there's a lot of other partners in the area that you can book as well. And that flight was, I think it was like $600 or $700 when I was looking at it, just to kind of round out an entire South Africa trip. Wasn't going to do that. Didn't really particularly want to fly economy because I had like beautiful business class flights on both sides. And as the two of you know, it's always hard to like mix in the one economy that's like, you know, that's like throwing in a rogue bad dip to your chips when you otherwise have homemade. I splurged a little.
Yeah, well, it can also make sense, especially when you're abroad and the requirements for carry-ons are different. Mm. If you book a first class ticket, then it comes with more checked baggage and you don't have to pay extra for that. So sometimes it can just be worth it to pay more in points for the first class ticket or the business class ticket, even if it's a short flight.
Yeah, especially, I guess, if you're doing safari or you're in a place where you're doing kind of like adventurous type travel, maybe you have some equipment with you. I guess Travis, our scuba diving expert, that would fall into this bucket as well. But doing it just for the savings on baggage, that's genius.
Yeah, I have done that. Yeah.
So that was my sweet spot example that I actually did in real life. I'll pop it over here to Travis next, but to not kind of be the person who didn't do the homework assignment here, I'll hop in after you, Travis, and I'll mention kind of the most common use cases that I see among our readers. But
no, you can just go now. You don't.
I can go now.
Just wing it. Just wing it.
Okay. So the most common scenarios that we see our readers interested in using Avios, the biggest one is West Coast to Hawaii. Like if you live in a major West Coast hub and you want to go to Hawaii, which is a pretty common thing, using Avios to book those flights can be very, very inexpensive. I think it's as little as like 13,000 miles per person one way in economy. Availability is not super difficult to find. You typically, you're going to have to find like direct routes, though, especially if you're booking through British Airways because of like the segment issue. But that tends to be like almost really the introduction to partner bookings for most people in points and miles that I find. And also the example that Emily mentioned, if you're in kind of the Charlotte area and you want to go pretty much anywhere in the Caribbean, or if you're originally in Florida too, lots of availability, lots of routes to choose from, very inexpensive, especially if you're flying an economy. So that's what we see most of our readers use these for. And then maybe we'll talk about Q Suite's uses here a little bit later.
One of the things on that Hawaii that people often overlook as well is that Alaska is part of Oneworld now as well. So you've got both American Airlines and Alaska as options to book with Avios to Hawaii. So, I mean, that opens up California, Portland, Seattle, like virtually the entire West Coast with I don't even know how many daily flights that's got to be that it opens up. So if you're looking for Hawaii, particularly from the western half of the country, it's a great option to use.
Absolutely. And that takes us on to Travis. Travis, what is another great option, or as you would say, maybe the best way to use Avios in your opinion?
Yeah. So I did not misread the prompt, but I have also done this. So I can speak.
Are we voting on this one? Is there a winner?
It is the winner. It is the winner. So
I already concede.
The absolute single best use of Avios has got to be to fly Iberia business class to Europe in off-peak dates. You're going to redeem using Iberia as a award chart, and you're going to fly Iberia itself. So the unique thing about Iberia's program is that they have a peak and off-peak distance-based award chart. So if you're starting, there's a few airports where you get some really incredible value. So if you're traveling in off-peak dates from Boston, New York, or Washington to Madrid, or from Boston and New York to Barcelona, on off-peak dates, it's only 34,000 Avios per, it's only 34,000 Avios one way in business class. So wow. Round trip, 68,000 miles. That's crazy. I mean, for comparison, so you're getting round trip in business class for 68,000 miles. Probably the next best option for getting to Europe in business class is Air France, KLM, Flying Blue, which is 50,000 points each way. So you're only paying 18,000 more points to fly round trip. Now, granted, it is limited to kind of the north east of the US. But even if you're wanting to go on one of the longer routes from Chicago, Dallas, or Miami, then it's only 42,500 miles each way. So 85,000 round trip. Still cheaper than Air France, KLM, Flying Blue. The only time when Air France starts to win is when we get to the West Coast and the San Francisco, LA routes. It's when it shifts favorably over to Air France. The fact that you're getting a round trip in business class for essentially the typical cost of a one way on other carriers is absurd. And even if you're wanting to book during peak days, it's not that bad. then it does kind of fall in line with Air France, 50,000 points each way on the shorter routes, 62,500 on the longer routes. So then it kind of just becomes a toss-up, but still a good option. But yeah, I've done that off-peak myself and just blew my mind, like 68,000 miles for a business class trip. I did have to reposition for it, but it was well worth it.
How's the product?
I liked it. I mean, I'll say like Iberia gets mixed reviews, but if I'm just being candid with people, I think that it gets mixed reviews because it's not flashy, it's not great, but it's not bad. Like, it's a standard, in my opinion, it's a standard business class product. Like, nothing about it excels. Nothing about it is gonna be the best of the best. You're not.
Yeah, but you're only paying like 68,000 points.
Yeah, and there's a lot worse options. You know, like there's way worse ways, both for points cost or product. Like, I'd fly Iberia over Lufthansa business class to Europe any day.
How would you compare it to Air France?
I would probably say it's pretty similar to Air France. Air France's service can be better than Iberia's, especially if you speak just a little bit of French to them, then you'll get whatever you want. But personally, I had a very good crew on one of my Iberia flights, better than I've had sometimes on Emirates or Qatar even. I don't think that's the norm, but one of my flights just had a really good and personable crew. So when you hear people talking negatively about the experience, I personally wouldn't put too much stock into it. I think it's just that it's a little less personalized. It's not flashy. What it comes down to is there's nothing special about it, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad product. And I think that's where it gets lost in translation sometimes, is that just because it's not flashy doesn't mean that it's not an enjoyable experience. Yeah.
And especially for people who are, you know, traditionally economy flyers or have family and you're looking to kind of hit your first business class product, this is a great option. I mean, outside of the repositioning, if you don't live in the Northeast, but it's a great way to get your entire family on business class for, you know, the cheapest points price you can, pretty much, for business class.
Yeah. I mean, and the peak dates, they're not too bad either. Summer is pretty much all peak, mid-June through mid-September, and winter holidays in December. But outside of that, it's just kind of scattered. I even counted, and in March, April, and May of next year, 2025, there's only 14 peak dates. So tons of opportunity if you're wanting to take kind of this shoulder season, mid to late spring. Same thing kind of mid-September through November, early to mid-fall. I don't really know when winter starts because I live in Texas. So I don't really know. It's a really good opportunity during shoulder season. Summer, like summer's just all peak dates. And that's kind of the one downside. But if you're able to take advantage of that shoulder season, you can get some good deals. And I'm talking to you, spring breakers. This is a great option for spring break travel.
Mm. Now, I feel like Iberia also kind of gets knocked because of their website and like their general IT apparatus. Can you kind of speak to that and your experience with navigating that issue?
It can be rough.
A little bit of turbulence in the process.
Yeah, it's gotten better over the years. But like, if you ever have to reset your password or anything, which I had to do once, it like everything just is more weirdly complicated than it should be. If you need to make changes or cancel a flight, it's more complicated than it should be. I've found it more reliable recently than it used to be, but yeah.
Where's the trade-off? Like, at what point would you book your Iberia flight through British Airways to avoid the IT infrastructure of Iberia?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It's not bad enough to warrant that. Like, it's just frustrating. You know, it's kind of like life miles. Life Miles's website, like, sometimes just doesn't do what you want it to do, or like doesn't work how you want it to work, and it's frustrating, but it's not bad enough to abandon ship.
It's a pretty low bar. It's like, it's somewhere above the BMV website, but it's not worth the 5-pound bag of peaches to switch. So
I'll say it's better than Marriott's website has been recently. It's been horrible.
I don't use their app anymore. Their website's awful.
Yeah, it's atrocious. So
my original question has inspired another question, which is not really related to Abios, but a lot of times we'll see people react so negatively to one bad experience they've had on an airline. How bad would your experience have to be in order for you to never fly a specific airline again?
Ooh. I'm trying to think first and foremost if there's any airline that I've had an experience where I would consider not flying them again. And I don't think so.
Yeah.
My brain would be the same way. And
I think I'd go for it. Like a good points value. Just risk it's it like, again. I mean, I know that last time we spilled an entire pot of coffee on you and like kicked you out of first class and made you sit like in an exit row with surrounded by someone else's children who were very upset, but 38,000 points in business class and like, whoops, I'm you.
Yeah. I'm there.
it would have to be pretty bad. I mean, even something beyond like I booked a business or first class ticket and got bumped down to economy. Like, and that sounds like a pretty egregious thing, but I understand that sometimes there's just stuff that's outside of your control. And it just sucks that it has to happen to someone and it happened to be you. I wouldn't be happy about it, but it wouldn't be something to where I'm never flying that airline ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in my own personal opinion, I guess, so much of that, of the bad experience is specific to maybe the crew or the weather that day or something, that it is almost extremely unlikely to impact the next flight that you take on that airline. Sure, if you have a really terrible time with Iberia IT and the website, you'll probably experience that again the next time that you try and use the site. But if we're talking about experiences on board, I don't think there would be much that would stop me from booking the same airline.
What if it has to make a layover in Miami, though? Then it's
I've actually
business class. No.
I've never had an issue in Miami. I know we keep saying this, but I have not had an issue yet.
Oh, we're going to put that on social media.
I think I jinxed fate. I had to fly from Miami. I had a wedding in Miami on Friday, and then I had to get to Deer Isle, Maine on Saturday for another wedding. And so I had to fly out of Miami at 4 a.m. and it was on time. We made it to the layover. The layover flight was on time. I got to the wedding with an hour to spare. I have no qualms about Miami.
I'm definitely going to get like somehow stuck there now. We're just putting it out.
Yeah, we are.
I am actively, so for my trip to Antarctica next year, I have to get down to Argentina. And one of my options was taking the Emirates Fifth Freedom from Miami down to Colombia and then connecting from there. And instead, I'm repositioning to Mexico City to fly Aeromexico from Mexico City to Buenos Aires. Like, that's how much I'm like, nope, I will reposition to a different country to avoid flying through Miami.
And I agree with it too. Like that's a sound move.
So won't break up with airlines, but we will break up with airports.
Yes. Honestly, beyond the plane crashing, I feel like it would just be really hard for me to say I'm never gonna, like, it would have to become a safety issue, I think, is where I would draw the line. Is do I feel safe flying this airline? Would probably be where the line gets crossed. I think most of the how I look about like customer service failures is simply if these big customer service failures were happening all the time, they wouldn't be newsworthy. So I don't think that that's the norm. I think that those are the exceptions. And then most of the time you can get it resolved. So it would much more likely just be a safety thing than a like customer service operational thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap this thing up, shall we? So whether you're just getting started with programs like Avios or you're an expert, we're here to help. And the best way to do that is one of the following, or maybe all of them. Sign up for 10X Travel Plus. You can get one-on-one consultations where you get to chat with a member of our team. Might be one of us, actually. You can do that 2 times per year and get 1 free award booking every single year. Kind of takes all of the hard work out of points and miles, especially with complex programs like Avios. You can manage your points and miles in our free tool, My10X, which has a feature called My Next Card. It takes a look at all the cards you currently have, takes the guesswork out of the next best one for you. Nice and simple. And of course, be sure to join our Facebook group, where now over 340,000 people come together, share their points and miles knowledge, as well as their horror stories about flying through Miami. Finally, enroll or brush up on our free course. It teaches you how to travel the world for next to nothing. For all of us here at 10X Travel, I'm Bryce Conway. Thanks for joining us today, and we will see you next time. Bye now.